But sometimes we take communion lightly, or we don't really understand the full meaning behind it. But every time that we partake of communion, we return to the center of our faith.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, August 2nd, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Eat and Drink, and our text comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. How many know the Lord is in control? Why do we still sweat it out? You know, I guess that's being human. 1 Corinthians, yes, absolutely. I appreciate people affirming what I say from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26 is our text this morning. I have been thinking closely on this message because it speaks to our discipleship mode. And I think that you and I will agree that one of the greatest experiences in our life is to have communion. And communion takes a special way of understanding when we remember that we are to be like Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, shall we read it in the screen? Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You know, there are some truths that we can hear, and we hear. And there are some truths that we read. There are some truths that we confess. But the Lord's Supper is a little bit more progressive, because there's a truth that Jesus wanted us to catch. And the idea is that we can actually drink, eat, and touch the truth of what Jesus is all about in our lives. On the night that he went to the cross, Jesus gathered his disciples, and he just gathered them, he spoke to them, and he did not give them a very long explanation. He simply took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." Jesus gave his disciples a meal that they would never forget, because the meal represented the cross. The bread tells us Christ gave his body. The cup tells us Christ poured out his life for you and for me. So the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, as it's called, is the gospel placed before our eyes. It is the gospel we touch, the gospel we receive, is the gospel we eat. Yeah, you know, Ezekiel was told by the Lord in the vision, "Eat this book." The same thing happened to John in the island of Patmos. Jesus, actually, the angel said to him, "Eat this book, eat the scroll." There's something about ingesting. There's something about appropriating that we need to discover this morning. Because in the table of the Lord, we need to do three things. First, we remember Christ. Secondly, we receive the life of Christ. And thirdly, we identify, or we become, the body of Christ. So first, let's remember Christ. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." How many of you have a faulty memory? Let me just repeat that so that you will remember what I said. I am dangerous with memory issues, and some people attach that to my age, but no, I've been like that since I remember. Got you guys. No, I don't remember names. Okay. Okay. It's not Gloria. we played this game for 47 years. I've tried to decipher, remember the name of Esther. But everybody else that I got it mixed up is with the Lord, so you're the only one here. So, but I can't remember names. Very difficult for me to remember names. Faces, somewhat. Anyway, that's my life. It's been like that forever. So we tend to forget things, but Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Very dangerous, not just forgetting names or faces or places or dates. Sometimes we forget what God has done in our lives. Sometimes we forget how much we need grace in our lives. Sometimes we forget how much our salvation cost us, cost him. And we forget that we did not save ourselves. Wait, remember that you did not save yourself. That's why Jesus gave us bread and the cup, bread and the cup. Every time that we receive the bread and the cup, we return to the center of our faith. But sometimes we take communion lightly, or we don't really understand the full meaning behind it. But every time that we partake of communion, we return to the center of our faith. And the center of Christianity is not what we have done for God, it's what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The broken bread reminds us his body was given for us. The cup reminds us his blood was poured out for us. This is amazing. The words of Jesus can be understood simply by saying, this cup is the new covenant, and it cost me my blood. Not cheap, very costly. And so your forgiveness and my forgiveness is free to us, but it was costly to Jesus. And your place and my place in God, the family of God, was not purchased by the good works that we can generate. We didn't get there because of our bright knowledge that we may have, or even our religious effort. It was purchased by the love of Christ. And so when we come to the table this morning, we need to do so with gratitude. We do not come because we're perfect. We come because we need the grace that is afforded to us. You know, I appropriate grace every single day of my life. I've been saved by grace. That's an event that happened, and it's there to stay. But every day has its trials. Every day has its purposes. Every day has its challenges. And the only way that I can meet those purposes and challenges is by receiving more of his grace. Grace is the ability of God in your life for you to do what you cannot do for yourself. There are some things that I just cannot do for myself. That's where grace come in. And we don't come to the Lord's table this morning because we have never sinned. Come on. We come because Christ died for sinners, and I qualify. I am a sinner saved by grace. There's a story about a woman who hesitated to receive the sacraments. We can call it sacraments. We can call it the Lord's Supper. We can call it ordinances. The different names store it, but it's the same thing. And she hesitated. She felt too sinful, too unworthy. And so the minister in the story looked at her and said, take it, sister. It's for sinners. It's for you. It's for you. It's for me. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The table is not a reward for people who live good. It's not a reward for people who are, quote, perfect. It's a place of grace for people who need Jesus. How many need Jesus this morning? Oh, good grief. Well, when we receive the bread and the cup, we remember, I did not save myself. Jesus gave himself for me. I am forgiven because of his grace. Let me tell you, we have a good thing going here. Don't ruin it. Don't confuse it. Allow God's grace, God's love to fill your cup, to show you how much he loves you and how he relentlessly is seeking you. Oh, there's a whole message in there. Well, we remember Christ. Second thing is we receive the life of Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The bread must be received. We can look at the bread. We can look at, or we can study it. We can explain it. But nothing happens to nourish our body until we eat it. How many know that? Because I have some people who say, I gain weight just by looking at food. How many know that's not true? But bread does not nourish you until you eat the bread. And it's the same thing spiritually. Please catch this. Because we can know a lot of things about Christ without allowing his life to change us. You know, we can attend church and by all means do so. We can read the Bible. By all means, read the Bible. You can even know the four square doctrine, whatever that is. Well, I know what that is, but whatever it is. You can even sing choruses. But the important question for you and for me is, are we receiving the life of Jesus into our lives? Is it getting in there? Or is it just the right, just something you do? When we receive communion, our hearts should say, deep in there, Christ, I receive you. I receive you, Lord. When we take the bread and we do so, and we take the cup, Lord, I receive your life. And then we say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Lord, I want you to be part of my life in ways beyond just, yeah. Which, by the way, death does not bother me one bit. Thank you. I'm going to be very, very direct. You know, I need the life of Jesus because there are things I cannot change in my life by my own strength. And you need the life of Jesus because there are things in your life that are going on right now that you cannot change by yourself. And I don't mean big things. I mean things like, for instance, I need his patience because I'm impatient. See how this gets into the nitty-gritty? Somebody was saying to me the other day, we go to this big church and they preach nothing more than be good. I said, wonderful. Come to my church and I tell you how bad you are. I say that with great respect. But we need his patience because I'm impatient. How about peace? We live in a world where everything is shaking. We need his peace because we have fear. We need his love in place of his of our resentment, and we need his strength because of our weakness, and we need his forgiveness because of our failure. The Lord's Supper reminds us, or should remind all of us, that our faith is more than just believing about something about Jesus. It's receiving Jesus and learning to live with him. I'll say it again. It's receiving Jesus and learning to live with him. Una vez más. It's receiving Jesus and learning to live with Jesus. A disciple is not simply someone who knows what Jesus did some time ago. It's not saying, yeah, he died for me. A disciple, someone who follows the Lord, is someone who's learning how to live the way Jesus lived. That's an incredible statement. It's beyond just simple head knowledge. It's a lifestyle. So when we come to the table this morning, we need to say, Jesus, live your life in me. Yes, by all means. Lord, teach me to love as you love. Oh, what a difficult thing to do. How many of us are a work in progress? Some of you are completed the process. That's wonderful. But it's very difficult. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. How about, Lord, teach me how to forgive others? Ooh. I just gave up. I now forgive everybody without thinking about it. Because it's a losing battle trying for me to live a life that wants to justify things that I can't justify. How about serving the Lord? Teach me to serve as you serve. The big one for me is teach me to obey the Father as you obeyed your Father. Well, he was in Gethsemane. He said, Lord, I don't really care for this. Is there any other way that I can avoid the cross in Gethsemane? And he said, if there's any way, Lord, except thy will be done and not mine. We receive the life of Christ to process our life by allowing him to live our life in our hearts. And then the last thing I mention is that as we remember the Lord and as we receive him, we also become part of the body of Christ. Let me see if I can get this thing right. Well, Paul says that because there's one bread, we who are many are one body. What the Lord's Supper does not only does it unite us with the Lord, it also unites us with one another. One loaf. We all receive the same bread. We all receive the same grace. We all receive and we all belong to the same Lord. So at the Lord's table, no one's better than anybody else. The rich and the poor receive the same bread. The educated and the uneducated receive the same bread. Listen to the next one. Here it goes. Citizens and immigrants that should not be immigrants also receive the same bread. People from different nations and different cultures and languages receive the same bread. Because there's only one Lord. There's only one bread. There's only one table. There's only one family, the family of God. You and I cannot say we love Christ while refusing to love other people. People that Christ has received. We're not that type of a church. At least I have not picked that up. No, we're not. We love people. But let me just say it. We love people. That means you love the person close to you. Sometimes we say, I love people across the world, but how about the one next to you? That's the one that counts. Oops. We cannot honor the bread and the body of Christ while despising, not liking the person who sits beside us, who's also part of the body of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that every relationship is easy. The word easy is nowhere in the gospel. Sometimes it's tough. Because honestly, sometimes I go on the record, we have been deeply wounded. And the wound many times is by those people who profess to know the Lord. But just think about this. Just think about it. Jesus chose the 12, and one of them was who? Judas. What else is new in the kingdom of God? Sometimes forgiveness takes time. Sometimes reconciliation requires truth, repentance, boundaries. But at the table, we ask Jesus to keep bitterness from controlling our hearts. That's the key. Because we all have our issues. Good grief. We all have, if I was God, I would just wipe them out. I've thought of that many times. Not about you, other people. But some of you sometimes have come into that, but not really. But we have to come to the Lord's table and simply say, Lord, forgive me. Look, I really don't want to feel that way about you know who, but that's not just coming to the table. That should be our daily prayer. And so we say, Lord, help me to understand how I can forgive. Help me to understand, Lord, how I can construct healthy boundaries. Whatever that means, you know. You know, there are some people I'd rather not see. Because just seeing that the environment becomes toxic. Lord, help me. Help me. Teach me to see other people from whom you died. And so we receive the bread and we remember Christ died for me. But we also remember Christ died for that person who is right next to me. So I'm concluding. Isn't that great? Four simple actions in the meals of Jesus. First, we see Jesus took bread. Four things. Took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it. Taken, blessed, broken, and given. And that's the shape of the life of Jesus in our lives. He was chosen to the Father, by the Father. He was blessed by the Spirit. His body was broken on the cross, and his life was given for the world. And that is what needs to shape our lives. It's actually what shapes our, it has to shape our lives that way. Because God takes us as we are. I don't know, have any one of you ever gone to a Billy Graham crusade? I've been there. I was here when he came in the 66, I think it was 61 or 62 at LA Coliseum. I remember that very well. And the choir that sang, "Just as I am, without one plea." Thousands of people listening to the song and saying, "My God, is it true that you'll take me just as I am?" Yes, he does. So, you know, your life is shaped with that concept in life, that God takes us as we are. Let that sink in. Secondly, God blesses us with his grace. Grace is a lot more than just unmerited favor, as some people would describe grace. Grace is the ability to do the things you can't do by yourself. There's an empowering that God gives to you and to me. His grace is sufficient for all things. And then God works in our life in such a way that our pride and our self-sufficiency begin to faint away, because we know we cannot do this by ourselves. And then God gives you and me to serve others. So we don't come to the table just to be fed, so to speak. We come to the table as the body of Christ so we can feed others as well, that we can share the gospel of Christ and the work of his grace in our lives, so that we can share with others our puny representation of his love and kindness and forgive and hope. It's puny, but it's mighty in the hands of God. The acts of kindness that comes, the work of God in your life. So the Lord's Supper will not end when the bread and the cup are put away, because we have to carry that message to the whole world with an attitude of loving and caring and sustaining and being smart and being wise and processing situations in life in the light of God's grace and power and dignity. It's a message to the world. And so we go to the lonely, and we go to those who are in need of friendship, not out of pity, but out of the gratefulness of our heart that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and we share that. No one should be suffering needlessly when there's a Christian around. The Christian should come next to them and say, "Jesus loves you. For the Lord is the Lord of the lonely and the Lord of those who are in need." And you carry that in your heart. We go to the wounded and we offer compassion. And we go to the hungry and we share what we have. We go to the forgotten people and tell them that there's a place for them as God's table. There's a place for them. So today, as you and I receive the bread, we need to remember that Christ gave his body for you. When you receive the cup, Christ poured his life for you. And when you look at people around you, remember, you are the body of Christ. And at this table, we remember Christ, and we receive the life of Christ, and we become the body of Christ. That is the gospel we hear, is the gospel we see. Yes, by all means, is the gospel we touch, is the gospel we eat. Eat this scroll, eat this word. Let it be part of you. Ingest it in the same way that it becomes part of you, that you receive the words of Christ to form you and to shape you and to realign your priorities and helps you to rethink life itself. Because it's not just a theology out there, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He becomes part of your very fabric, of your thinking processes, of your walk, of your thoughts, of your ideas. The song, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." It's a reality. And communion helps us. It draws us closer to that moment where we eat the bread and we take the cup. We're saying, "Yes, Lord." And we are now the body of Christ. I will care. I will love. I will strengthen myself so that others can see the light that I've seen in you. So that's the message this morning. We need to take the communion, our Lord's Supper, to that level where we receive the cup and we eat the bread and we remember him and we receive his life and we become part of the body of Christ. So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning. And we come to your table, Lord, and we say it, Lord, in a very direct way. We need greater grace in our lives. Every day we need grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving your body for us. We thank you for pouring your blood for us. And thanking you, Lord, that you made a place for us in the family of God. Lord, today as we partake communion, we receive you in a very special way. As we take the bread and as we drink the cup, Lord, help us to emulate your patience, your peace, your love, your strength. Teach us, Lord. Teach us how to live as your true disciples, following you willingly. Help us to recognize your body in the people around us, the brother, the sister. Father, if there's any issues between in our hearts from brothers and sisters, teach us to forgive and help us to receive one another as you receive us. So, Lord, we say, take us. And I say, Lord, bless us. And I say, Lord, break our pride. And I say to you, Lord, from the depth of my heart, give us for the life of the world. And this is going to be a day when we will sit together at the great table of your kingdom, and we will enjoy communion for the last time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus Messiah, name above all. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
Amen? You sure? All right. So, church. All right. This is the day
the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
You always amaze me. Okay. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another, love one another, say hello to the new baby.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.